Today's reading is going to start in Genesis 18, verse 22. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have ever undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." And he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, now let not the Lord be angry. I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand back." And they said, "This fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." They pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out, groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life, but I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven, And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. I mentioned to you yesterday that when Abraham meets these three men and entreats them to stay with him so that he can feed them and take care of them, that he addresses them Lord, but that word was not Jehovah or Yahweh. It was just a sign of respect. But when we get into today's reading, and Abraham is left with this third individual, and he calls him Lord, the word there now is Yahweh, Jehovah. So there is a recognition that happens between that first address and here that he is talking to God. And so there, that change tells us why he begins to have this discussion. Remember in yesterday's reading that he was told, you know, next year when we come back, you'll have a child. And then he's told about the destruction impending for Sodom and Gomorrah. So I think there were definitely some indicators to tell him who he is speaking with. Rather than just three traveling individuals, this is something greater. And I've always wondered about this situation, that Abraham was brave enough to begin, for lack of a better way to describe it, he's bartering with God, you know, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, all the way down to 10. You know, if there's just 10 righteous individuals, would you spare the city? And God agrees in each one of those. I would spare it for that number. I think this says a lot about Abraham in that he cares about others. Now, he probably knows that Lot's over there. And he's probably thinking about Lot, but I think it's more than that. I think Abraham is an individual that cares about the value of life, especially those that would be righteous. And he makes this statement, you know, shall not the judge of the earth do what is just? And I don't think he's truly questioning God. I think he's just stating, this is what I understand about you. This is what I've learned about you. And so my deduction is you wouldn't do such a thing if there were righteous individuals. Now, fast forward to when they do make it to Sodom and Gomorrah and they meet up with Lot, that it's just Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. So there's not 10 individuals, but God still doesn't wipe away the righteous with the cities. He rescues Lot and his family. And we are given that indication that, yes, part of it is because of Abraham, but it's also because of what Abraham recognizes, which is God is just, and God is not going to make the righteous have the same destiny of the wicked. And in terms of spiritual destiny, that is absolutely true. Now, I also think that the reason we're given this whole story about the men of Sodom coming out to Lot's house is so that we understand just how wicked these people were. It says, young and old, every single one of these men came out to Lot's house. I have no idea how many that is, but that's just terrible, terrible to think about. And then you understand why there's this outcry that is coming up to God about these cities. And Lot tries to protect the men. I have nothing to say except that I think he's misguided in offering his daughters. And I think, again, it does indicate how terribly wicked these men were, that they were not interested in his daughters. They wanted these travelers in their minds. And they reach the point that they're so upset with Lot that they press hard against Lot. And they're saying, you know, this is just a sojourner. He's not one of us. And so Lot is saved by the two angels, and they strike blindness upon all these men so that they can't even find the door. So God is watching over and God is protecting. Now Peter mentions Sodom and Gomorrah in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Peter said, "If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes he condemned them to an extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment." So Peter's describing Lot as a righteous individual that's really bothered by the way that these people in these cities are conducting themselves. So I'll give him that, but I also think that Lot made some poor choices by choosing this area to settle in. If he knew how bad these people were, I would think he would want to get his family away from it. Says that he had those that were sons-in-law, which they hadn't married his daughters yet. They were betrothed is what it was. And they didn't listen to him. They thought he was joking when he goes to them and says, "God's going to destroy this place." But his daughters were betrothed to citizens of this city that is so unrighteous. So again, I think Lot has made some poor choices. And it gives us a lesson in thinking long-term instead of short-term. Don't just think, as Lot did, "Hey, look, that is green over there. That's the best place for my cattle. This is where we're going." Instead, he needed to think, you know, I've heard about those people in those cities over there, and it's not good, and I don't want to live in that area. So just keep that in mind when we're making decisions. We need to make good long-term decisions. So these two angels rescue Lot, his wife, his two daughters, and very quickly take them away from the city, tell them to run and escape. He asks to go to a city rather than go to the hills. And that favor is granted, but they're told, don't look back. Don't look at what's going on. And of course, his wife does, and she's turned into a pillar of salt. She did not follow the commandment. So I'll just leave you with that thought about Lot and those long-term decisions. We need to really think about decisions we make rather than do anything spur of the moment or without due consideration. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.